Brother Justin Eckstein, a pioneer elder and a graduate of the School for Kingdom Evangelizers from the Edmonton Parkdale Congregation, will now present the final part of this symposium. Imitate not the cowards, but the courageous. Not the rich young ruler, but Paul.
Goodbye. What would you be willing to say goodbye to? Imagine a personal encounter with Jesus Christ where he told you there's one thing holding you back. Would you have the courage to say goodbye to whatever that was? We'll discuss two men who had that encounter. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was approached by a young rich ruler who asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit everlasting life. The other man we're going to talk about? Well, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the man Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, but at the time was persecuting followers of Christ. At first glance, the rich young ruler and Saul may not seem to have much in common. However, both men's circumstances in life do contain similarities. Both were prominent and successful, and both had a potentially life-changing experience with Jesus or encounter with Jesus. The Bible calls the first man young, very rich, and a ruler. You know, he had three things that he might have thought many would. I've got this in the bag. But he was aware of his spiritual needs. So he sought Jesus out and asked, not once, but three times for help. The young ruler says to Jesus that he's even been keeping God's law from his youth up, being a devout Jew. So let's pick up the account if we turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Notice what Jesus' response to him is. Remember, he sought Jesus out seeking for help on how he can get everlasting life. That's Mark 10. I invite you all to turn there, please, and verse 21. So Mark 10, 21. Jesus looked at him and felt love for him and said, "One thing is missing about you. Go, sell what things you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, be my follower." So this man sought Jesus out, begged for help. He got it. Jesus said to him exactly what we were talking about. There's one thing holding you back. Did you notice what Jesus said it was? He said, sell the things you have. That's what's holding you back. That's what you're missing. And what did he say? Well, let's carry on in verse 22. He grew sad at the answer and went away grieved, for he had many possessions. So this man was seeking help. When he got the answer, do you notice what he said? He didn't really say much. He just went away sad. That is sad. The cost for him was too high. He was unwilling to say goodbye to his many possessions, which held him back spiritually. What's the lesson for us? We may have admirable qualities and a measure of courage, but if we hold back because we're attached to our possessions, there may be one thing missing in us. What will we do if we're presented with opportunities to expand our sacred service? Will we have the courage to say goodbye to anything, whether it be possessions or other things that may be holding us back, that would be holding us back from expanding our sacred service? Let's talk about someone who did exactly that, the other man Jesus had an encounter with. You know, the Bible calls Saul young and well-educated. You know, the type of education he had today would be like higher learning, and it's the best. That's what he had. As well, he was part of an exclusive group known as the Pharisees. They loved tradition and money. But like the rich young ruler, Saul was zealous for God. Both Saul's humility and courage would be tested by his encounter with Jesus. Would he be willing to say goodbye to the things he'd worked his whole life to accomplish? What is more, at Acts 9, verse 16, Jesus says that Saul will suffer many things for bearing his name. Would this man really do that? The account in Acts tells us, with this encounter with Jesus, Saul immediately responded, got baptized, and started preaching about Jesus. He became a courageous and zealous preacher we look up to as the Apostle Paul. Wow. But why? Why would this highly educated, prominent Pharisee who was persecuting followers of Christ be willing to do that? Why would he react differently than the rich young ruler? This is the point. Saul's desire to please God was stronger than any fear of losing his possessions or position. How did he feel about the choices he made? Well, years later, when writing to the Philippians, Saul compared his previous life, the things he's accomplished, to refuse. Money, prestige, possessions, higher education were garbage to Paul compared to having an approved standing with God. So what's the lesson for us? Well, dedicating ourselves to Jehovah means that we need to be willing to walk away from or say goodbye to anything that may be holding us back spiritually so that we too can have an approved standing with God. We need to ask ourselves, would advancements at school or at work hold me back spiritually? In the following dramatization, note how young servants of Jehovah respond to various opportunities.
My boss called me into his office, and he offered me a promotion to a full-time position, which would mean a lot more money.
I was in a meeting at work, and they told me how much they appreciate me and my good work ethic. And then, suddenly, they offered me this full scholarship to start pursuing a career.
My uncle told me he'd back me financially if I ever wanted to stop working for him and start my own construction business.
A few weeks later, a brother was giving a talk at our circuit assembly. He read Mark 10:21, where Jesus told the rich young ruler,
"One thing is missing about you. Go, sell what things you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come be my follower." Then he made the point.
Instead of grabbing on to a rich spiritual opportunity, that young ruler just let it slide by. Then he asked us, "Is one thing missing from your life?"
He was right. Something was missing.
I'm baptized, but am I really giving Jehovah my all?
Could I do it? Could I do more?
I was determined not to let a spiritual opportunity like full-time service pass me by. You need courage not only when things are bad,
but you also need it to pursue a life of self-sacrifice.
But when you do, you'll have no regrets, because nothing will ever be missing from your life.
In this video, we saw job promotions, scholarships, starting their own business. Each of those are big decisions, big opportunities. But did you notice how in each case, these youths imitated Paul and not the rich young ruler? Did you see how they had the courage to walk away from or say goodbye to their belongings? They followed Jesus' advice and made choices, even sacrifices, so that they would have nothing missing in their lives. And did you notice their big smiles? we may not be in a position to sell our belongings and move to another land to preach. Yet each of us does well to ask ourselves, is there something missing about me? Am I more attached to my possessions than to being a disciple of Jesus? Let's turn to Luke 14, verse 33, and see if you can notice the requirement for being a follower of Jesus in this verse. So please turn there. That's Luke 14 and verse 33. So Luke 14:33, in the same way, you may be sure that not one of you who does not say goodbye to, or as the footnote brings up, give up all his belongings can be my disciple. So did you notice the requirement? Well, it says we need to be willing to say goodbye, or the footnote tells us what goodbye means, giving up our possessions to be a follower of Jesus. So as the end of this system approaches, whether it's possessions, education, promotions, money, or other opportunities, may each of us have the courage to walk away from or say goodbye to anything that may hold us back in our whole-souled service to Jehovah.
Thank you, brothers, for bringing those Bible accounts to life.